I can't thank, my fans first and foremost, but the fans of the Denver Nuggets is, this organization is amazing. This fan base is amazing, and I'm glad to put on the Nuggets uniform.
You're listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, your daily podcast on the Denver Nuggets. Now, here is your host from DenverStiffs.com, Adam Mottes.
There it is. It's been a while since we've been able to bust this out, but this was a fun one, and you know, it's a celebration. It's the final game before the All-Star break, and who would have guessed your Denver Nuggets would be where they are? The second seed in the Western Conference, very comfortably on the playoff hunt, comfortably looking at, set themselves up for success, and with a lot of optimism, I think, around this team. You know, they've survived a lot. The challenges ahead now are good challenges. They get Isaiah Thomas back. He makes his debut at Pepsi Center. He brings some of the most exciting moments at Pepsi Center so far this season. And the Nuggets get a win to kind of close out this first. I know it's really not, it's really more of like three quarters of the season. But, it kind of, the All-Star break always feels like the halfway point. And the Nuggets get to close it out on a high note. Two wins at Pepsi Center. A gritty win. And this was one that, Denver did not play great. There was a lot of things that this could have very easily been a loss, but Denver did just enough. You know, good teams, they don't just win pretty. They win ugly too. And this was a game where Denver won ugly. They did a lot of things to throw this game away, but when push came to shove, they got contributions from enough players. And some key players, Isaiah Thomas, Paul Millsap, Malik Beasley, Monte Morris. You know, it wasn't Jokic. It had a classic Jokic game, but and stat line. But this was really about some of the other guys, and I think that's a good sign. So exciting one for Denver, and a good way to kind of close this out. This episode of the show is, of course, going to be about that game and about Isaiah Thomas's return and sort of the last 24 hours when we found out that he would be playing. We got to interview him for the first time. We, as in the Denver media, got to interview him for the first time since way back in September when they did Media Day. So there's a lot to get to in this one, and we'll get to it right away. But a couple announcements. First of all, the live show. Hit me up on Twitter. Let me know that you're coming. This is going to be a lot of fun. Sunday, the 17th, that's this Sunday, the All-Star game is at 6 o'clock. At 4:30, we're going to be at Society Sports and Spirits in Denver. It's 14th and Market, I think 1434 Market Street, or Blake Street, rather. Blake Street, 1434 Blake Street. And great bar, really fun bar, and going to be a giant projector screen. We'll be doing a live show, a live episode of this Locked On Nuggets podcast with a great panel. Three of my favorite guests that I have will be on the show, and we're going to be doing interactive stuff, calling people, volunteers out of the crowd to participate in different segments that we do. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to want to be there. So hit me up. Let me know. It's not going to be one of our all-out watch parties with a DJ and stuff like that. But it will be a fun event, a more intimate event, and then just kind of a cool thing. You get to be a part of the first live episode of this show. Our other announcement, we have two new shirts on Denver Stiffs. We actually have three. The Malik Beasley one is now a couple weeks old, but it's really, really cool. Malik Beasley actually had one, posted it on his Instagram account. He loved it. He thought it was awesome. So that was really cool to see. And then we have two new ones, a new Nikola Jokic shirt, the Mountain Goat. It's a cool design, really, really neat design, a little bit of a niche inside basketball kind of thing. But, you know, that's what this is, this podcast, Denver Stiffs. It's for the diehards, and so it's a really cool design. D-Line Co., just one of the great artists in Denver, did a really good job with that one. And then we have a new Locked On Nuggets shirt, The Ball Is Popping. A really cool design. That's a vintage design too. And that shirt's only $22. So check them both out on DenverStiffs.com probably midday tomorrow, or you can go to DLineCo.com and check them out. Those are the announcements. All right, let's get into it because there's a lot to talk about. Nikola Jokic was honored before the game. First of all, he has a new haircut. Haircut Jokic is a real thing. If you don't know, every now and then he gets that real tight looking hairdo or haircut, and he always has a breakout game when he does it. So it's a real trend now, and the trend continues with a triple double tonight. But they honored him before for being an All-Star, and you know, I think it's been such a long time coming with him. I mean, he's been such a good player, and you've known that he was going to be an All-Star at some point, but tonight was one of those first times you kind of realize we have an all-star. We have this dude who's one of the best players in all of the NBA, and his name is starting to ring out, and it was just kind of, it was cool to see him get presented with a basketball and just kind of honored before the game. It gave a little bit of an extra spark to the start of this game. Sold out crowd, which is becoming the norm. You know, a lot of people showed out for this one. I think the Kings are the most fun team in basketball right now. The Nuggets used to be that team, you know, the young, they're not quite there, but they're fun and you root for them as the underdog. The Kings have sort of been that league pass darling this year. They play a very fun style, fast paced style of play. And the Nuggets, of course, I think are very fun, not just because they're our team, but they play a fun style as well, so you knew this was going to be a great game. Jokic, you knew it was going to be a great game when Jokic, to open the game, throws an assist to himself off of the backboard. And my God, is this guy the most smooth-slash-awkward player of all time. I don't understand it, but that play right there, you know, takes an incredible amount of just control and understanding for the space of the court, but yet he does it in a way that makes it look like he's falling down. I mean, he's just such a unique dude. I thought Jamal Murray, to open this game, made some very questionable decisions on both ends of the floor. You know, he struggled since coming back. One of the storylines for the Nuggets is just you bring back Paul Millsap and he's slow coming, you know, getting back, although tonight he was the MVP of the game, I thought. So it takes a couple weeks for him to get going. Gary Harris came back but didn't look good. You know, he looked really, really rough. Will Barton has been very uneven, mostly down, I would say, over his last 13 games or so, whatever it's been that since he's been back. He's had some flashes, but for the most part, I think he's been bad. And Jamal Murray, who had really had a great, from mid-December to mid-January, he really looked like he was taking the leap, the one we'd all kind of hoped would happen this season. And he unfortunately rolls an ankle, misses a little bit more time than he would like, and just hasn't been the same since. So that's been one of the storylines for the Nuggets. How well they play down the stretch, I think, will be largely due to how you know, how much those, how quickly those guys recover. I think this break is coming at the right time, maybe even a week or two too late. But Denver, you know, their health is going to be the biggest question for them, I think, going forward. So him, Barton, clearly not 100%. Losing the ball on drives, playing below the rim, this is something that both him and Barton do. You know, Barton and Murray are both, they're penetrators. They're dribble penetrators. They like to attack the basket with drives. They come off the pick and roll, turn that corner, and they can either pull up or try to get all the way to the rim. But the getting to the rim part for both guys has just not been there. I mean, think about it. Will Barton was a dunk contest participant just a couple seasons ago. Athletic above the rim guy. I don't know if we've seen him dunk in the half court since he's been back. Same with Jamal Murray, a guy that has the ability to kind of play above the rim and posterize guys. He likes these fearless going there, but we just haven't seen him because he lacks that explosion. So both guys, I think, struggling from that. And when they're both in your starting lineup, you know, it's not a surprise that both guys get off, or that the team has been getting off to these slow starts. I just think they need to get healthy. It was neat talking to Will Barton today. He talked to the media after shoot around, and he said every year he takes a vacation for the All-Star break, as almost every player does. They take a little mini, like 3 or 4 day getaway, usually to the Bahamas or Mexico or Hawaii or whatever. And Barton said this is the year he's not. He's staying in the gym. He's got to get his body right. He's got to get his conditioning right, his touch, all that stuff. So for some of these guys, I think that's a good thing. Murray, you know, he needs a rest. I don't know that he needs to be in the gym, but you know, I certainly think that he needs a reset, and this break provides that. I want to get into some of the more notes, but before I do, I want to tell you about the presenting sponsor of this show and the presenting sponsor of the live show on Sunday. It's Realtor Ryan Dykstra of Ion Real Estate, who I've gotten to know over the last couple weeks, and I'm really excited for him to be not just a short-term but long-term sponsor of this show. He's a Denver native. He knows this Denver market well, and he just has a passion for working with people to buy their first home or to upgrade the current home that they have. He just loves real estate, knows this Denver market incredibly well. He's also a diehard Denver Nuggets fan. You might have seen him at Pepsi Center. He's been a season ticket holder for the last 10 years. He sports his own customized Realtor Ryan Denver Nuggets jersey. I think he's got the blue Mile High City one. You got to find him at Pepsi Center and go up and talk to him. Tell him you also listen to Locked On and you like him sponsoring the show. But you can give them a call, 303-217-1533. That's 303-217-1533. A call or text. And no matter your experience level in buying and selling real estate, give him a call. If you've never bought before, give him a call. He'll walk you through the process, teach you how to go through the loan application to get a mortgage and all of that different stuff, answer all of your questions. And if you're an experienced person, maybe you've invested in real estate and you're looking at buying a mountain property or an investment, a rental property, give him a call. He can help you out as well. No matter what your real estate needs are, he's got you covered. So give him a call. Realtor Ryan Dykstra of Ion Real Estate, 303-217-1533. So the Nuggets did not miss a shot for the first 5 minutes of this game, but we're still down 4 points. This is the Nuggets defense that has unfortunately been here for the last 2 months. Just not a ton of urgency, especially in first quarters. They've been giving up some enormous point totals in the first quarters. And, you know, it's just one of those things that's going to have to change. I think the addition of Gary Harris will probably do wonders for the team's defense. Offensively, they've been able to stay in games because they've just been scoring, but you know, you can't set that tone early. I thought this was another game where Denver allowed guys like Buddy Hield to get going early on, and when they make the first two shots and see the first two go in and you're not really contesting them, well, then all of a sudden the contested shots start going in because they're in rhythm. And Denver did that with J.J. Redick the other day against Philadelphia. They did it with Buddy Hield again tonight, and whatever it's going to take, I have no idea what it's going to take, but Denver has to figure this out. They've developed a bad habit, and one of the things that's happened with Denver over this slump, early in the year, the biggest story for them defensively was their transition defense. That's fallen off a cliff, but you know, this is one of those, you know, the knee bone is connected to the hip bones, you know, there's a domino effect where one thing kind of leads to the other. And I think the thing that's happened with Denver over the last 5-6 games especially is that they get sped up in transition. And, you know, generally speaking, transition shots are better than half-court shots because the defense isn't set. And, you know, the whole idea of 7 seconds or less was shots in that first 7 seconds just tend to have a higher chance of going in than shots anywhere else. And we know this statistically. But there's a bunch of other factors that you have to take into account. And one of them is that the Sacramento Kings like to play at a fast pace. They play at the second fastest pace in the NBA. They play 104 possessions on average, 104 possessions per game. Possessions meaning, you know, they get the ball and either a score, a turnover, or a shot, a missed shot. Well, they play the second fastest pace in the NBA. The Nuggets play the fourth slowest. Denver's strength offensively is in the half court. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't be, you know, great in transition as well. In fact, Denver's very good in transition. They're very efficient on the season. But over this last handful of games, I think that they've allowed themselves to take too many B-minus shots in transition. Those pull-up, off-the-dribble three-pointers. Paul Millsap had one I'll talk about a little bit later that was kind of like, man, what are you doing? You can get that shot almost any time. And I think they just get to start to feel themselves a little bit too much. They've got so much offensive firepower, and they have the maestro of half-court offense in Nikola Jokic that when he's on the court especially, I just think you have to really value possessions. A-minus shots are better. And I know that's crazy to say, but when he is on the court, and especially you put the weapons around him, Jamal Murray and Malik Beasley, you put these shooters, these great scorers around him, you're going to get A-minus or better shots 99 out of 100 times in the half court. So if you're in transition and you get a B shot or a B minus shot, you know, pass that one up. Work it. Try to get to the rim or try to get a wide open catch and shot, shoot, set shot. And Denver, I think, just has not done that. In this first quarter in particular, I thought that was the biggest issue, is that they just kept settling for, you know, good shots. Good is not good enough for this team, and they're the types of shots I think they can get at any point in the shot clock. So the ball was not popping. They were getting up and down, but they were not getting the great patient looks that they need to. And as a result, every time you miss one of those, well, then you allow a very fast, high-energy team to go the other way. You turn your transition offense all of a sudden into transition defense, and Denver was just giving up a ton of points that way. So I think that's a real habit that's developed that I think Denver is going to have to work on, a little patience. Mason Plumlee has really started to knock down that jump hook that he shoots. early in the season that felt like a 50-50 thing, maybe even a slightly less. But I swear over the last like 10 games or so, he's hit that jump hook at a really great rate. It doesn't look great, but it goes in. And then, of course, Isaiah Thomas, the story of the night. He checked in with Denver down 15. So Denver did not do him any favors. Your debut, go save us. We're down 15 points. But he checks in, and the crowd was ready for it. The crowd was, I think, very antsy in this game. It was one of those crowds that wanted something to cheer for. And when Denver got down 15 to open up, there was a lot of just wind out of the sails of everybody in Pepsi Center. But Isaiah Thomas provided that spark just by being there. And being on the court, he's an incredibly popular player. So you throw him out there, and the crowd came to life. They started, everybody sort of picked up the energy, and as a result, Denver did as well. And the Nuggets went with the lineup. If you listened to yesterday's show, if you did not, I highly recommend it. I talked about the lineup that I would use if I was the coach, and sure enough, Michael Malone and the coaching staff went with this very one, which was Torrey Craig, Paul Millsap, and Mason Plumlee. And I think on the surface, you look at that and go, three non-shooters? You know, that's how you're going to space the floor. But, you know, I've talked about this before. Torrey Craig can space the floor as a spot-up three-point shooter. His problem is handling the ball. Paul Millsap, he can space the floor with a little spot-up three-point shooting. Plumlee, he can space the floor with the gravity rolling to the rim. A point guard like Isaiah Thomas, we saw one of the first plays he had was that alley-oop to Mason Plumlee, right on point, no look alley-oop. It's really impressive. Isaiah Thomas's skill level is through the roof, and his feel for the game on the offensive end is really great. So you give him that rim gravity, and you give him just enough floor spacing. But what's more important, Isaiah Thomas is a big, ginormous negative on the defensive end. I mean, he's more of a positive than on offense than he is a negative on defense, but you still have to sort of account for him and defensively. And you put arguably your three best defensive players on the court, and I think that it really worked out nicely. And that lineup played a majority of the minutes that Isaiah Thomas was on the court. Those three guys were out there with him, if not all of them, actually. No, I think Torrey Craig came to the bench for a little bit, but it really works. And to be honest with you, it works so well that it made me think, you know, I like Jokic when you play a little bit smaller, when you give him four shooters instead of three. I kind of like that. So as much as I love Millsap with him and I love Mason Plumlee with him, if Isaiah Thomas becomes a guy that's getting 20 minutes per game and he's going to play a majority of them with those two bigs, maybe that's a good thing for Jokic, because that means Jokic is going to play more minutes, maybe with Wancho at the four, which we haven't seen a lot of, but maybe there's an opportunity to go to that for a couple minutes a game. And I think that's a win for a win all around. Monte Morris got a lot of the minutes alongside Isaiah Thomas tonight. And, you know, we talk about both of those guys are so little. I think especially in a playoff series, they become susceptible to, you know, just getting beasted either on the boards or guys posting up or whatever. But in the regular season, most teams are not going to alter what they do offensively dramatically and say, oh, you know what we're going to do now? We're going to post up Buddy Hield. You know, that's not part of our offense every other game of the year, but tonight we have a mismatch there, so we're going to change everything and do that. In the playoffs, teams will. They'll change their rotations to make sure they can take away one of Denver's strengths and maybe put a big on those guys or whatever. So that'll be an interesting storyline later. But the chemistry between Isaiah Thomas and Monte Morris right out of the gate, first play, was really impressive. And those two guys, they're just basketball players. Great feel, great basketball IQs. And it was, I guess, no surprise that offensively they did really read each other really, really well. Millsap also started to get it going in that lineup. And, you know, Millsap sacrifices a lot. I know a lot of people say, oh, Millsap doesn't have it anymore offensively. He sacrifices a ton for the greater good for this team. And when Jokic is on the court, you play through Jokic, and he's getting all the best looks. He's getting the A-plus touches and facilitating, and he's in rhythm. And Millsap sort of has to just be that guy that stays out of the way a lot of time, and as a result, you know, he's not in rhythm. Well, you throw him on a more traditional lineup. Isaiah Thomas, when he's out there with Monte Morris, Monte Morris runs a little bit of point. Isaiah Thomas is like the fulcrum of the offense. He becomes the pivot point on offense. And Millsap becomes sort of the secondary scoring option there. And we saw tonight, he still has it. He still has a lot of great moves in the post when you go to him and feature him regularly. So this story of this team, so many guys, Mason Plumlee, Malik Beasley, Paul Millsap, there's a lot of guys making sacrifices. And I think, you know, Millsap, he had some rust coming back from the injury. But tonight you look at it and say, man, he really was in his bag tonight. And that really worked. The second unit as a whole just brought the energy. Another note I have here, Bogdan Bogdanović for the Kings is very high on my list of players I wish was a Nugget. I mean, he just stays with all of the traits that I like best. He's a great offensive player, can shoot the ball, and cut, very good cutter, but he just plays within himself, man. He doesn't, you're never asking, like, what the heck is that guy doing out there? He's always doing the right thing. He would fit in very, very nicely here in Denver. No surprise, him and Jokic, you know, obviously have the Serbian connection. Jokic and IT got together for a little bit in this game, but not a whole lot, and I don't think we saw a single Jokic-Isaiah Thomas pick and roll. You think about it, Isaiah Thomas, one of the best pick and roll players in the league, you know, when he's healthy. Jokic, I think, one of the best bigs, so you'd love to see a little bit of that, but those two didn't run it very much. Jokic posting up younger athletic bigs is one of my favorite things. Marvin Bagley fits that. Marvin Bagley, I think, has a chance to be a very impactful player and a very, very good player. But I think right now he has a long way to go just sort of in the feel for the game, especially defensively. And Jokic, it's such a contrast. You're talking about 2 7-footers, one of which is a hyper-athletic, just power player in Bagley, and one of them just doesn't leave the ground. And Jokic went out there. I love these matchups for Jokic. It's so funny. He goes out there, gives a little up and under, almost like he was playing with a child. And, of course, Bagley twice in a row bites on it. It's one of my favorite things to watch. Jokic going up against these athletic bigs who are not nearly as good of a feel for the game as he does. Beasley, he loses his man still so much. As good as he has been offensively, you know, you really worry about him defensively and what his upside is. I think in the NBA, you have to play to improve on defense. And this is why, you know, Jamal Murray, 3 years in, still not a great defender. It just takes so much time, I think, especially at the guard position. This is a guard-heavy league. You really have to just understand the rhythm and timing of everything and anticipation of everything. Malik Beasley has not played a ton of minutes in his first 2 years. He's getting a lot of minutes now, but there was a play in the half court where, you know, a very basic scramble, he gets lost, and the guy that should have been his, there was a switch, the guy that should have been his just waltzes right to the basket for a wide open dunk. And those plays just happen a little bit too often. It happened with Wancho early on in the year before he was pulled out of the rotation. With Beasley, he's been so great offensively that I think it's still worth it, but there's some plays where I mean, Malone, I think, is going to have an aneurysm one of these days. And he, in fact, did have one in this game. He gets tossed. It looked to me like the Nuggets just didn't have it, you know, in that first half, and the Kings started to get into roll, and it looked to me like Malone knew this team needs a spark, and he purposefully got thrown out. Now, there were some bad calls or some missed calls, rather, that went against Denver, so he had a legitimate beef to complain about. But it looked to me like he made the calculated decision of, you know, right before the All-Star game, we need this one. We don't have the energy. Maybe if I get thrown out, that'll spark something. And you know what? It may have. It from that point on, Denver went on a roll. So Malone, I think, in this instant, pushed the right button. On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that Malik Beasley is going to make a wide-open three-pointer? Because I'm at like a 9.5. That guy's shot is just so balanced and so pure that when he gets an open look, it's just found money. I cannot wait until Isaiah, Jamal, Gary, Malik, Will are all healthy, because you're talking about I don't know if there's another team in the NBA that has that many guys capable of knocking down 5 3-pointers in a single game. The Warriors, obviously, you see what they do with KD, Klay, and Curry, and those guys, all three of them, better shooters than I think all three of anybody on the Nuggets roster. But when you talk about volume, Denver has 6 guys that are not just little threats, they're huge threats at the three-point line, and I just can't wait, because, you know, Malik, you know, one night you're going to have Malik go off, one night you're going to have Gary, and there's going to be some nights this year at some point where all of them are just feeling it, and it's going to be Golden State Warriors-esque. I really believe that. The Nuggets are going to have games when everybody is healthy where they're just putting up 140 points, and it feels like they make every shot that goes in. They have that kind of potential in them. Buddy Hield, Nuggets start making a run in the third quarter, and Buddy Hield got 3 threes in a row, wide open, and missed all 3. All good looks. You talk about a make or miss league. Denver wins wins this game by 2. That little stretch right there where Denver had kind of cut the lead and got close could have really gone awry, and it wasn't because of anything Denver did. In fact, they left Hield wide open. It's just he just missed them. Nuggets just couldn't get over the hump with that unit, so they're down 11 at the half, and then they chip into that lead. I think they cut it to to like 7, then they give it back up to 11, then they cut it all the way down to 1, and they had it at 1 several times but just could not get over the hump. Enter Isaiah Thomas, who now in his second stint in the game, he did not score. He dished out a couple assists in that first stint. He gets in this time, and he knocks down a 3, and I think it was one of the best moments of the season at Pepsi Center, just to be at and experience. The crowd wanted that moment. They were rewarded with it, and it was a big 3. I think it pulled Denver within 1 or 2 at the time when he knocked it down, and then he gets another one just a play or two later, and this one gives Denver the lead, and that was also one of the best moments at Pepsi Center, and the lid really blew off. I mean, the fan base really seems to enjoy this guy, and it was awesome. He knocks down another kind of step-back jumper, so he gets 8 points in, like, the course of 2 minutes, and Denver was ahead, not for good, but, you know, that was kind of the tipping point. Mason Plumlee, another note I have in here, he was really manhandling Harry Giles. Giles had such a frustrating game, he kind of fouled himself out. He just started getting a little chippy and throwing himself around, and you could tell he was frustrated. But Mason Plumlee, Jokic, Plumlee, Millsap, it's such a – when you go up against younger bigs, Cauley Stein, Giles, Bagley, and then you go up against Jokic, who's young but still like plays like a veteran, Millsap, who is a veteran, Plumlee, who is a veteran. This today, not only did the Nuggets out-rebound and just win the battle inside against the Kings, they really dominated that from just a maturity standpoint. It really felt like the big brother versus the little brother in this one, and it was really cool to see. So Giles fouled out, and it was funny. I have a note in here. Chris Marlowe said, bye, Felicia. I don't have anything to add to that. I just wanted everybody to know that this happened on the broadcast, and I found it hilarious. Monte Morris gets a dunk. Kind of another one of those moments where you love this team. One of the reasons you like this Nuggets team is because there's so many like little things with the players. So Monte Morris, you know, the crowd knows this guy doesn't dunk. He very, very rarely gets an opportunity to. So when he does, you see the bench go crazy. You see the crowd go crazy, and it was fun. It was a good dunk. Beasley and Bogdanovich had to be separated. I have no idea what happened between those two guys. Beasley, I think, is a guy who really wears his emotions on his sleeve. So, you know, when he's happy, he's flying through the roof and dancing and doing the stuff. When he's mad, he's in somebody's face. So they have to get separated, double technicals. Almost immediately out of a timeout, Malik Beasley gets a layup and then trash talks Bogdanovich so hard that he gets a technical. Now, I have no idea what was said, but Beasley did not argue being thrown out. So we'll just leave it at that. He said something and then he was tossed. Will Barton, I mentioned he was mostly bad again in this game. In fact, there were some moments he shot the ball really poorly. He had a couple really sloppy turnovers. There's a couple moments where you thought, man, take him out. You need to put somebody else in there to close out this game because he doesn't have it tonight. But thankfully they did not, because he hit arguably the biggest shot of the night. Denver had this run where they're in the lead, but they can't pull away. It's just, you know, they're getting stops, but they cannot seem to find anybody that can make a shot. And Will Barton, Jamal Murray takes, I think, an ill-advised shot, offensive rebound. Mason Plumlee finds Barton for the kick out, and he knocks it down. And that put Denver up 4, I believe. That put him up 6 with 2 minutes to go. So Denver, it was a big shot, and really it felt like, okay, it's not the clincher, but Denver, now their odds go through the roof that they're going to win this one. Unfortunately, the Nuggets let them back in this game with some really sloppy play, led by Nikola Jokic. It's funny, Jokic hit the biggest shot. He had the triple-double, but if it weren't for that big shot, we actually would have talked about how bad Jokic was in the clutch. He had a turnover on a post-up. Then he had an air ball on a post-up, and both plays led to Kings runouts that allowed them to tie this game with just a couple seconds left. So Denver gets the last shot. Jokic had kind of choked it away. I actually wondered who they would go to here. I thought, okay, Jokic just had 2 really bad plays in a row. Do they try to get something else? And here's what's interesting. Jamal Murray was on the court, but he was in the corner. And in fact, he was actually on the wing. And if you rewatch, Jokic is telling him, get down to the corner. This is one of the things I love about Jokic, is he just knows where guys are going to be. He knows what people's reads are. So he's pushing Murray to get further basically out of the play so that his man would not be in position to help. And it worked out. Sure enough, Monte Morris and him run the pick and roll. Monte, steady as ever, the guy that just does not turn the ball over, delivered a great pass to Jokic that put him in position to make a great play. This time, Jokic had been, I think, receiving some contact. He lowers that shoulder into Marvin Bagley, kind of gets him completely out of position, shoots the shot that usually goes in, but I think it was actually beneficial that it didn't because it ended up wasting another second rolling around the rim. Jokic is able to tip it in with only 0.8 seconds left. So really cool moment. And then a funny moment, Kyle Speller, the guy who does the in-arena announcer, the referees go to announce or to review to make sure it wasn't goaltending, and Kyle Speller, the referees let the desk know what happens, and Kyle Speller goes, "We have a decision. The referees have determined that the call on the floor, which was originally a basket, is now determined that it is good." Like, he really dragged it out for like way too long. I thought it was so ridiculous. And the funny thing is, the entire crowd was quiet for it. They actually were holding their breath for it. Like, what are you going? Where are you going with this, man? So it was really fun. Buddy Hield gets a three-pointer with 0.8 seconds left. You know, you don't want to foul. The last thing you do is foul a three-point shooter. It's a tough position to be in as a defense because you kind of have to let them take a heave. And a heave like the one Buddy Hield got probably only had as a turnaround three-pointer going off his right shoulder, which I think is the harder one to get a shot off of. And he spins that way, and he probably makes that one out of 10 times. But it's one of those things where you almost just have to let him shoot it, and he got uncomfortably close to making it, but Denver escaped. So it was a big night at Pepsi Center to go into the All-Star break the way that they did and to get Isaiah Thomas on the court. I got to say, this was only one game, and I almost have no real conclusions to draw from this game. But some of the things I think about was that Isaiah Thomas looked better than I expected him to. He certainly adds a different wrinkle to this game. And the fact that him and Monte Morris look so good together gives me hope that even when Gary Harris returns and they have a full roster, the team probably can find ways for all of their best players to be on the court. And that to me is really, really encouraging. Trey Lyles got into the game in large part because Paul Millsap picked up a couple early fouls, played terribly. And he did not get in the second half. And it's one of those things where I just think he's probably out of the rotation when everybody's back. I know he's the only backup true power forward position, and there might be games that he does get in there. But Denver just has better options, I think. And I think it's very, very clear at this point. But exciting win. Isaiah Thomas's debut. I think a lot of people had a lot of fun with this one. And now we get to turn our attention to the All-Star break, the All-Star game, and then, of course, the most important home stretch, final 25 games of the season that follow, that'll really separate and let us know what kind of team we have with this Denver Nuggets. I can't wait. It's been a very fun year to this point, and I think it's going to be even more fun down the stretch. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll be back again very soon with a brand new episode.
Thank you for listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us on the web at denverstiffs.com.